the Conservationist Conversationalist. I'm Brandon Anyard.
And I am a sleepy bitch. We're recording this at midnight because, we just have a lot of shit going on.
Because I didn't want to make dinner and I went to my grandparents. I knew they'd make dinner for me.
Yeah. Also, I've been like sitting in front of a computer editing for like 6 hours. And by sitting in front of a computer editing for like 6 hours, I mostly mean sitting in front of my computer on my phone playing games, avoiding editing for 6 hours.
That's what editors do, though.
Amy. Yeah, but it's still psychologically draining.
Oh, no, it is. I mean, like, the editing on a computer is, to me, one of the most exhausting jobs. And I'm gonna, you know, there's a part on there's a part on when I finish the podcast where it asks for the artist names. I put Brandon Anyard and Aiden Wood, and this week I'm going to put Brandon Anyard and Sleepy Bitch. Like, you just
okay, that's know. Fine. You yeah. Do whatever you want to do.
No, I'm kidding. So how have you been though? How's this week treated you? Besides the what we're going to get into later, which obviously has a lot of us going, what?
Yeah.
How else have you been this week?
I've actually been really depressed the past couple of weeks. Like, I don't know, just really low mood. I think it's just been like low sleep and just like general stress. But today I had like a pretty good day, you know, a pretty good day at work. Just felt, I've been trying to get some more sleep, sort of picking up. Also, Wednesday's my birthday, so that's exciting.
Well, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
And this will come out on Tuesday, so a day before your birthday.
It will.
You're going to be, let me think if I remember this correctly, you're going to be 23.
Correct. Yes.
I feel good about myself.
I already see myself as 23, which is weird because like most of the time on my birthday, it takes me like a month or two to remember to like say my new official age and not like whatever age I was. But I don't know, for the past like month, maybe 2 months, I've just been saying I'm 23.
I also coincidentally see myself as 23, so that's the, you know, so what do you say? Let's jump into the jungle so you can get to sleep here soon, Aiden.
Sounds good, sounds good.
All right, play the birds. So we know what the main topic of discussion is this week. And we know. To add more exhaustion to your already hashtag mood, I think I did that right? No.
You know, I think that sort of, yeah. I'll give you that one. I'll give you it.
Like maybe like a B minus.
I'll give you an A. Like there's no rules in this game. We can do whatever we want.
I will.
A plus is for everybody all the time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So the much anticipated Mueller report has come out this week. And almost like anticlimactically too, right? Because it was like we had expected it for so long, and then it's just like, oh, and he submitted it to Attorney General Barr, and no further indictments. When we really, because let's be honest, at least I'll be honest about myself personally, I really just wanted to see Donald Jr. get indicted. Like that was going to
be that would have been nice. Life. I mean, like, I think that it's, like, kind of misleading to say that the Mueller report came out this week because it has not come out.
Well, that's fair, right? Because you've only gotten, what, 4 pages?
Yeah, and in the case you're listening to this 4 years from now, you're, like, an anthropologist studying, like what humans are thinking about during the Trump era. and you want all our few facts straight. Mueller has submitted his report to Attorney General Barr, and Barr released the principal findings of the report. And then there's been a lot of attempts to try and get the report released. There have been some anonymous inside sources I've seen that said that the report's a lot more, I don't know if damning is the right word, but it's a lot worse for Trump than Barr's
thing I've heard. Yeah,
but I mean, like that's the anonymous sources so far. We can't substantiate those until the report is actually released. And
right.
So far, like the House tried to get, like the Congress tried to get the report. They tried to pass a proposal to get the report, and Mitch McConnell
blocked it.
Yeah, yeah, blocked it.
Do you have any idea why? I mean, if you are so happy that, you know, and maybe there's political stuff that I'm missing here, but if you are happy to see, look at the President of the United States, which is the same party as you are, that the report has come out, no further indictments. Now, of course, like you said, there has been talk that, you know, there is other subject material in there that could be more damning, if you want to use that word. But yeah, because otherwise, why would you want to block it if you're McConnell, right? Wouldn't you just want to prove to everybody that that the whole thing was, as you know, Donald Trump's been saying, a witch hunt? You know,
the only thing I can think of is that there might be some information in the report that could impact Trump's chance of getting reelected. Like, if there's stuff in there that his base won't be able to accept, there's a possibility that it will, that they would want to block it from being released just to protect his image.
What do you think that this base, as crazy as they are, what do you think would possibly be the tipping point for his base? I mean, it would have to be, I mean, these are people who seem to be like okay with, you know, fascism talk and, you know, and supporting of nationalism. I just wonder what could possibly come out that would, you know, that would shake up his base, unless there was a report in there about how he has posters of Hillary in his room.
I think that they'd still be okay. I feel like, I think that that'd be fine with him. I think, because, like, so far, the stuff I've seen from his base that has been critical of him has been generally, like, overall, just general opposition to the shutdown as it happened, and also, like, a feeling like the wall isn't getting built fast enough, like, he's not going to fulfill this main campaign promise,
right?
And a lot of people are going to be really disillusioned, and I also think that repealing of the Affordable Care Act is going to really hurt his base a bit, but I don't know how any of that could be in the Mueller report, you know?
Well, we have to remember, too, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, we have to remember, too, that, you know, as we look forward to 2020, there's the main things that we have to worry about on, you know, in the resistance, so to speak, is that there was a majority that voted for, even though a lot of us weren't necessarily the biggest fans of Hillary Clinton, the majority voted for Hillary Clinton. It was three states, basically, and even or five, if you want to include Ohio and Florida. But if you look at Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, those are three states that if those are won in 2020, it's a totally different ballgame. Suddenly it swings to Democrats. So that's going to be the really interesting thing come 2020, is can those states be swung blue? Because it seems to me it shouldn't be that hard, given the fact that although he has a really crazy base that will support him, on the other hand, there are a lot of people in the middle who said, you know what, we thought maybe we'd give this a shot because it was something new and different, and this has been a complete and utter mess, you know?
Yeah.
So my question also, so I read an article on Politico today, I want to know your take on it. This kind of alternate sort of silver linings observation of the whole thing was that even if other people have been indicted in his, you know, close circle or as a, you know, inner circle, that it would have been hard for Democrats to get him impeached. And of course, nobody really wants to indict a sitting president. So that in the past you've seen when opposition has tried to impeach a sitting president, it's worked out against them in a lot of ways. And then they've lost the following election, or they've had trouble with elections afterwards. So they're saying, hey, this is a blessing in disguise, because now Democrats can focus on 2020 and they don't have to worry about this. And impeachment sometimes does more harm to the opposition, or an impeachment hearing does more harm to the people trying to get the other person impeached than it does good. Do you feel there's some truth to that?
I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the history of presidential impeachments. I do know that I think that America needs to decide collectively that we're done with this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
I think that, like, if we can resoundly, like, Trump, get it?
Yeah, Trump,
trounce,
I like it.
Trounce is better. Hashtag, but yeah, if you can, Trump, if we can hit that whack-a-mole on the head with a hammer, get that fascism back down a little bit, I think that that's going to send a stronger message both to other Americans and to the world that his rhetoric and behavior is not acceptable.
Yeah. You bringing up whack-a-mole just reminded me that I watched Us last night. And
I don't know that I want to know about.
Yeah, well, have you seen Us yet?
I have not. I don't watch horror movies.
Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't anything horrible. It wasn't anything horrific. But anyways.
What was it?
It was just one part. I thought maybe you watched it. That's why you brought it up, because it's like kind of a part of like the early parts of it. Maybe you watched us, and yeah, you haven't. So
no,
it was not one of the scary parts of it. It was just kind of like a sort of a part of like the opening where like, yeah, it's for people who
were like because I think that they were at like a summer festival or summer beach thing, carnival. Yeah, so they I'm guessing someone played whack-a-mole.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But anyways,
like as a metaphor, generally,
because I like the metaphor.
Like
a
fun, visceral. Like I don't know. It's like a fun image.
It is.
So
yeah.
I like to use whack-a-mole whenever I can.
You know, I think that you know, looking forward to, I agree with you, because I think that, you know, hit him where it hurts, right? Which is that if he feels, if he knows in his head, even though we know there'll be excuses, but if he knows that he was unpopular, that's gonna absolutely just destroy him. I mean, I can already sort of imagine what the reactions would be if he loses the 2020 election. It's gonna be, he's gonna flip it on that that you know, there were interference against the Republicans this time against him, and you know, he's gonna twist it in so many different ways to say that it wasn't his fault, because he will not accept responsibility, right? But yeah, I mean, I guess the part is that we can't do that to Don Jr. And that's the one I just so badly want to see taken down, you know? And so that's why it's like, that's the most frustrating part of this for me. I know that I have like so much frustration and really, if I'm being honest, hatred for Donald Trump Jr. So that's the biggest thing that I'm struggling with at the moment.
Nah, I mean, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
And as we do move forward, do you think that, because this is another thing I was thinking of the other day, so we're not going to talk about separate candidates necessarily, because we've talked about this every week.
Oh, yeah.
But I was thinking about this the other day, right? Because I heard something from the sort of centrist Democrats who said, well, look, candidates like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, progressive candidates, they're not going to carry the southern states, which I found kind of interesting, because they believe candidates like Biden or Harris, depending on, you know, Kamala's kind of, it's a little quieter now with her, but they feel that they'll carry the southern states, and they go, that'll be the majority of, you know, with caucuses and primaries, they're going to carry the minority votes, and therefore they will get the they'll have the more primary and caucus wins going into naming the nominee at the DNC. I guess what I find interesting about that, as we're looking at the end of the day, we just want somebody who's going to beat Trump. We really do. Now, mind you, I don't like the fact that we set this bar, which is, as long as they're better than Trump, it's okay. I want somebody who's going to be good, you know, not just better than Trump. But anyways, I find it interesting when you really think about the primary and caucus the adventure that you go on, right? Where you go from state to state and we see who all the Democrats in each state like. And we talk about the southern states and the fact that so-and-so is not going to carry those. But we know Texas isn't probably going to go blue in 2020. We know Alabama's not going to go blue. We know Georgia's not going to go blue. We know Mississippi's not going to go blue. So why are we – is it counterproductive to put so much emphasis on states that aren't going to matter much in the actual presidential election anyways? I mean, this isn't just me as like a Bernie fan who's trying to say we need to switch this around so we can win. I just truly don't know if that's really a productive way to look at getting a candidate, because we really need somebody who's going to win in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, don't we?
Yeah, and Ohio and Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of flaws that just don't make sense to me in this whole process, but do you think that this, kind of final question, I guess, as before you move on from this this week's news, do you think that this is the last we hear when it comes to, because obviously there's still stuff that is going on with New York and other, you know, issues that could possibly harm his presidency. Do you think, though, this is the last we really hear, and we're just going to move forward into the 2020 election? Or do you think that we're going to, that something's going to come out of the blue out of nowhere and it's going to cause more trouble for his presidency?
Well, I mean, like, that's a question I can only answer if I have psychic powers.
what would be your guess,
though? Something's gonna come out of nowhere that no one's expecting and, like, change the course of history.
Well, but I mean in the sense of, though, that we know that there are certain, you know, there are certain investigations that are separate from the Mueller report.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I think that those are going to have an impact. I don't know if they'll have an impact before the 2020 election. But I mean, like, even if they don't have an impact before the 2020 election, that doesn't mean they won't have an impact after it, either if Trump is reelected, which, oh, God forbid, or if not reelected, just bringing some justice, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too. This could, some of these things could be going on far after his presidency. Yeah. So, you never know.
I will. Like, 5 years from now, I'll still be relishing, like, whenever, like, right, a new, like, investigative report or a pre-sentencing report comes out, I'll be like, okay,
oh, yeah, ready
for drama.
100%, 100%. Yeah, I guess, so moving on from Trump and the fact that he is, it's funny, too, because last night I was talking to a friend who was flying from Seattle to Los Angeles. She lives in Los Angeles now, and she was at this bar in the airport, and everybody around her were, you know, mega fans, and they were relishing in the fact that, you know, that they were like, they kept throwing around, "We told you it was a witch hunt," and she was like absolutely going crazy wanting to say something, you know, in the midst of all these people. But that is one of the toughest parts of this, you know, is the fact that so many people think that for some reason they've been, you know, that they're Lord and Savior has been, he's been found to be innocent.
Except he hasn't been. Has not been exonerated of, fucking not collusion, obstruction. He cannot be exonerated of obstruction of justice, okay? Right. They said that there's no evidence they can find of collusion with Russia, but that Russia definitely impacted the election. Like, there was definitely a Russian conspiracy. There's just no evidence that Trump's campaign necessarily colluded with them.
Right.
But, like, so, like, it's still pretty damning. It's still like, hey, guys, the president in office is not one that the American people put in office. It is one the Russian government put in office. So, like, chill for, like, 10 seconds. Like,
but you and I have brains, Aiden. It's a little bit different for these.
Yeah, well, and also, like, we're not, like, so emotionally invested in Trump being successful. I think that it's just easy to let people to let their emotions, like, fall.
It's one of, you know, the more and more you see of people who are fans, it certainly is, you know, it's a lot of people who believe it just gives them the right to be ignorant. I think that's what they love the most. It's like a get out of jail free card while he's in office. It's like, mm-hmm, well, hey, if he can say this shit, we can too. So, yeah, you know, and it's just, that's what's sad about it. But so other things that have happened in the vegan world this week, which these are kind of rough things too, as we're vegans. Mm-hmm. A popular influencer, I know you don't follow influencers as much as I do on Instagram, and I just basically do for the sport of it.
You're going to go hunt down the influencers.
Yeah.
For the sports.
Just to see, you know, what they're influencing and what wagons are falling off of. So somebody who's been, you know, and I think it's fair because she came out and, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and absolutely rip on her, you know, for, you know, I'm not in the sport of being, you know, besides Trump, of totally, like, you know, bashing someone, but somebody who was a big, big figure in the vegan community. And if you could see me, guys, I'm using, you know, air quotes.
If you can see me, guys,
if you could,
possibility that the guys can see you. If you can see me, guys, listeners. Okay, continue.
Yeah. Her name is Ravana, and she actually had, like, these meal plans or, like, kind of things that she was, or diet plans she was selling as well, that were vegan. And she's been, you know, part of that community for a long time. And somebody caught her on camera because she's very popular. And they caught her on camera eating non-vegan food. And then she had to make a video talking about how she's not vegan anymore. And she talked about, because of some health issues she had had, some of them kind of shook my head at, because it was stuff that I knew could happen. And she kind of made it out like she didn't realize. And I'm like, for somebody who's supposedly supposed to know about health and stuff, that seems a little odd. You know, I'm not going to discount any of her health whatsoever. That's for her, right? But it was sort of for somebody who seems to be very, very, who's always talking about knowing about health and whatnot, it seemed a little bit weird to me that she wouldn't know about some of these things.
Yeah.
And they sound like excuses. Anyways, so she had mentioned that, you know, she gone from doctor to doctor, blah, blah, blah. And now she's eating eggs and fish. You know, to make sure that her health is better. And that's very similar to other influencers. Bonnie Rebecca, who's from Australia, Zally Gee, they're both from Australia. Zally Gee, not as much as an influencer as Bonnie Rebecca was, but it's her friend. And they both, Bonnie Rebecca's boyfriend, they both, same exact thing. We're told they had too much, an over amount of bacteria in their stomach, and they had to get that under control. So then they ended up going on eggs and fish once again, in some cases chicken. So obviously the a lot of people who, you know, like to make fun of vegans or are waiting for a vegan to slip, they glommed onto this because Ravana, the video, you know, went viral around some social networks and of her eating non-vegan, and people were like, see, you know, people can't stick with it, even the ones who claim they're vegan. And Bonnie Rebecca's done plenty of videos since she's admitted to not being vegan anymore. And people have, had, of course, their opinions on it. Some are very supportive, others aren't. But anyways, end of the day, you then have a few people like who I've actually had on the show, Sweet Simple Vegan, Jasmine. And she wasn't calling out anybody in particular, nor was her boyfriend, Chris. But they both went into their thing the other day, I think, saying, hey, look, this is why we are vegan and this is why we always will be vegan. I think they're trying to restate the look. There are a lot of us who have been this way for a while. And I think that without saying it, my feeling is, so I will say it, and this is not necessarily the view of all other vegan community members. I feel like with some of these people, it feels like almost a fad where they knew that if they were going to be an influencer on Instagram and they were into some forms of health or diets, they decided, well, vegan was kind of a catchy thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to start becoming vegans and they made money. You know, they claim they don't make a lot of money off of it, but that's the work they do. And I'm not saying they make millions, but they make enough to have, you know, to afford their apartment rent or even to afford houses in some cases. And so I'm not saying they make tons of money, but they make money. And this is what they do. And they know what their audience is at that point. And the fact that they all start switching to a diet that is fish and eggs, which is just so crazy when they're talking about levels that are not balanced inside of their stomach and that you have put something into your stomach like salmon, which a lot of them do, or fish, which are so stacked with toxins. It's incredible to me that people who are talking about, you know, the fact they had to readjust their health, the first thing they would do is go to fish too. You know, to me that seems bonkers with the amount of crap that's in fish. And then eggs as well, which eggs are just notoriously bad for you. And, you know, so it's weird to me that would be the two things they go to.
I've actually heard that eggs are pretty good for you. There's like a lot of mixed opinions on eggs. But
there's mixed, but I mean,
I'm assuming that they probably are eating like organic fish or some shit like that. I don't know.
I mean, to me,
I don't know.
When it comes to fish, I mean, you know, there's toxins in the water, plain and simple. I mean, you know, mercury is the only real, truly, potentially clean fish is deep water whitefish, which is, you know, where they're away from most of the toxins. But I mean, just PCBs in general in this area, when a lot of the salmon comes from, I mean, living up here in Washington and knowing where the salmon comes from, and just the PCBs in general in these fish is incredible. It's literally one of the things killing our whales here, you know? And so, I mean, that surprised me. And eggs, whether there's, you know, mixed reports on it, I mean, the cholesterol in eggs is freakishly high.
But there's good and bad cholesterol. Not to be an advocate for eggs. I just think that it's important to get facts straight. And if hypothetically, if I were to ever like have kids or something, and if I needed to make sure that they were healthy, if like they couldn't be vegan for any reason, like I'd probably like, I think that eggs are like the best choice to keep them healthy.
I think I'll agree to disagree there. I think that when you look at Yeah, when you look at the actual statistics, they're bad. Like they are pretty bad. But maybe I'm seeing it from one side. But that's okay. That's, you know, I respect where you're coming from. You know, I'm not perfect. I'll say that. We've talked about this. A lot of vegans would call me out because I eat honey still. I eat ethically sourced, and I feel that's okay. So that's, again, just like, you know, you might think of something or whatever. They might think of something. They might have an opinion on that. You know, my feeling is that as long as it's not, as long as it's ethically sourced, and like, I'm not like somebody who like puts honey in everything, you know.
Have you ever tried agave?
I love agave, and that's why most of the time, but again, you'll find something about agave that is bad for the bats, you know, down in, so there's always something that something is harming, okay? I guess the thing that's frustrating to me is that we've ranted a few times on here. I've talked about products that I like that are vegan on Instagram, but the important thing here is that when any influencer is talking about, without being a nutritionist or a health expert, that's including me, by the way, and you know, and you have every right to call me out about the egg thing because I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not an expert. I've read the studies that I have taken my own conclusion from, and nobody should take that as the gospel just because I just said it. In the case of these influencers, you know, they end up setting up these plans, they make money off of them. And then suddenly they are found out to be frauds, and they make a video about how they cry and then how, you know, yeah, this is what they had to do for their health and whatnot. And the unfortunate part is that none of us are perfect. And we've talked about that a million times as vegans. But certainly when you do what they've done and gone to the lengths that they have, they are worse for vegans, in my opinion, sometimes than, people who, just oppose veganism in general because they make us look like absolute jokes.
I mean, I think that like even if they're encouraging people to drop beef and red meat and like reduce the amount of all that they're taking, it's still ultimately like better for the environment. Even if it's like not like better for like the vegan community, you know.
Oh no, I don't
value in encouraging people to ditch red meat.
Well, make no mistake though, I am totally for people who have decided they don't want to be vegan but want to do something that's more environmentally conscious. That I totally agree with you. I think the Mediterranean diet is something that's very that I think is important for people to look into because of the fact that it is something that has less in the way of meat. That restaurant, I think I sent you the article about that. There's a restaurant in Portland where the guy is serving meat as a side dish and vegetable dishes as the main course. I think that's a very, very genius idea to start. But when you preach something as if it's religion, and then you are found out, not that you have just come out and said, I decided to do this, or you slowly faded off into the sunset, but instead you made a point of it, or you were caught on tape in the case of Ravana. It does do harm. Yeah. And like I said, I totally agree with you that I want to see people just try to do better. I don't think it's productive at all for us as vegans to say, if you're not this or you're not that, you're not a true vegan. That does no good. That just makes people want to say, you guys are fucking assholes. But it's unfortunate, I think, that these things are happening right now because, you know, because even now the family members and friends that I have who know that I'm vegan, they see these videos now that they've gone viral, and they start to now, you know, there's this bit of a, I think a little bit of glee, and also just, you know, it becomes a thing now that seems like it's just a phony thing. But anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to get that off my chest. My apologies for my ranting, Aiden.
The people like the influencers or otherwise, but the vegans who are more likely to stay vegan, from my understanding, are people who go vegan for the animals and for the environment. Mm-hmm. Not as much people who go vegan for their health, because health is very fickle and can change by so many factors. And as soon as your health, like, as soon as you start to slip in some area of your health, even if it's not diet related, even if it's more like exercise or like, But I think that people who are passionate about the animals or the environment are more likely to stay vegan in the long run.
Well, and that's a good point. And something I was going to bring up that I think kind of goes along with that is that, you know, a lot of these people who have gone away from it now started out on a raw diet. And I'm not questioning
like
anybody.
Mana, I'm assuming, right. Started out on a raw diet. Which, by the way, I don't like that name. It's been bugging me the whole time. It's a shitty name.
I totally understand.
Is it a play on Nirvana, but it's Ravana? Because that sucks. That's just bad.
I totally,
brand yourself. I'm obviously not someone to talk about branding. Like, she's the famous vegan influencer on Instagram, or, like, and I am just some sleepy bitch.
you're my favorite sleepy bitch / co-host, Aiden. So, no, I agree. It's not the greatest name. I think though you're right. It really does come down to. It's funny because Conscious Chris, who is Jasmine, who was the first guest I had on this podcast, that's her boyfriend, and he will show the most awesome food all the time on his Instagram account, like, you know, the most awesome sandwiches and bagels, and like, dude is just like, he eats the greatest food. And I'm not saying the healthy isn't good. I like to try to eat as healthy as I can, but the people who are eating, you know, we've kind of touched on this before, the people who are eating fruit bowls and Buddha bowls every fucking day, like, you know, they start off, oh, I feel so great, I'm so healthy, but they're literally depriving themselves of just normal food that we all eat. You know, yeah. When I switched to veganism, I just took things I normally ate and ate the vegan equivalents of them, you know. And I think that you do see a lot of these people who went so far one way. It just seems, you know, like they're the ones falling off. At the end of the day, I don't preach it because I try not to preach it too much because none of us are perfect, and everybody should be doing their own research. Nobody should be listening to me talk about how eggs suck or who else talk about whatever. That's just personal opinion. That's why I try my best not to talk about those things because it's a personal decision I've made. I do love advocating foods that are vegan, not because I think those people should necessarily go vegan, but because I think that if they started to enjoy vegan foods and add them to their diet along with whatever they feel best for themselves, then it might do a little bit better for this planet. Mm-hmm. So with that rant over, it looks like you're close to sleep. And
I still have to finish editing my other podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So yeah, so
okay. I might lie down for like 20 minutes. But that's probably a bad idea because I probably will
power
not
down.
Want to get up. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me this late on the podcast this week, Aiden. I appreciate it. And it's as always great to have your input as well. And let's hope that next week is just a little bit. That we have a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
More than this week.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Light a candle every night and say a little prayer that the Mueller report is released, or the Mueller report, however it's pronounced.
Blessed be the Dark Lord. But people, you need to go listen to Aiden's Dibs podcast. It's one of a kind because you don't have a lot of podcasts out there that are talking about Diblings, donor siblings, and Aiden being. She has several of those, and she was conceived by a donor sperm. And so, Aiden, they should go listen to your podcast, Dibs. Welcome to the family. It's on pretty much everything, right?
I think so. Yeah. It's on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, Google Play, I believe. I don't know how to find it on Google Play though. On my iPhone.
It's okay because I finally figured out how to do that, so I can look yours up.
Okay, sweet. Podcoin, Spotify, you know, the usual shit.
You can listen to Lemonade Magazine podcast. That's my other podcast if you want to take a break from veganism and the news. And you can listen to that. I've got new music. I've got interviews every week. And that's on it's on lemonademagazine.net, but it's also on Apple Podcasts, otherwise known as iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podcoin. And I'd appreciate if you would go and give that a 5-star rating if you so choose to, or less.
Also give this show a 5-star
rating. I was going to say, go to Aiden's, give her a comment and a review, give her 5 stars, because it's very entertaining. It's a very unique subject matter that Aiden tackles on hers. She's got like a niche there, and I'm proud of her. And Conservationist Conversationalist, of course, this is the podcast you're listening to right now. And if you can leave us a comment and some stars on any of the places that you listen to, that would be super dope, and we will love you five ever. How lame was that on a scale from 1 to 10?
I'm tired, dude. I can't think of numbers. I literally had a moment where I was like, what are numbers?
So, yes. Thank you once again for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday. And, yeah, stay dope, everybody.